It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Living for the Lord is the best life. And today on It's a Good Life, we're going to continue our study in the book of Romans. We're going to pick up with Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. Well, the Bible says there, reading with verse 6, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. Well, what Paul is saying here is you don't need to bring Christ down from heaven. The Father sent the Son. He's already been here. He's already come. It's already happened. And according to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it's a glorious accomplishment that has taken place. And that is a fact that he came into the world. Now, Christ does not need to be raised from the dead. He doesn't have to come back into the world. He's already come to do what he was supposed to do. And Christ does not need to be raised from the dead, according to Paul. It's already happened. It's already been done, according to the word of God. It is a fact that must be believed. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, Christ Jesus has accomplished all that is necessary for man's salvation. He has descended to the earth. He did die on the cross, and he has risen from the dead. These great facts need to be believed and preached. Well, there's a wide difference between true Christianity and all religions of the world. The religions of the world can be summed up by two letters, D-O, do. Whereas the true Christianity can be summed up by four letters, D-O-N-E, done. Who can tell the relief to a burdened heart when it discovers that all is done and all has been accomplished by another? Who can know the relief? Well, only those people who have trusted Jesus can know that relief. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Well, these verses that we just read, Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 9, Paul's letting people know that what was and is possible for man to do. And Christ has done that. Notice with me, if you would, the words Paul uses here are taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. Those verses say this, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." Well, you see, faith does not question what has already been accomplished by Christ. We see that in Romans chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. And then we see faith says the truth, or the word is close to you. Your mouth has confessed it. It is in your heart. It is the truth about faith that we proclaim or preach Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Well, now, these people had faith. I'm speaking of those people that we're reading about here that Paul's writing to the church at Rome. These people had faith. They had the word. They spoke the word, and the word was in their hearts. They were saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it tells us that. And Paul says the faith we preach in verse 8 is the faith for you to proclaim or to preach, believing by faith, believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. It means you will be delivered or saved according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And of course, verse 10 of Romans chapter 10. Paul's telling these people, you know, you've believed, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can tell others now how to be saved. You can tell them what to do in order to go to heaven. And the fact of the matter is, we've just talked about this, it's already done. All that a person has to do is to trust, to take by faith what Jesus Christ has already done. Well, I want you to know here that faith comes before confession. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the more we confess or preach Jesus, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. In other words, the more we preach that, the more we have the confidence of knowing Jesus is all in all. You see, when you tell others about Jesus Christ, it gives you the strength that you need. It reinforces what you already know, what you've already believed. And to confess that Jesus is the Christ means that a person agrees that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. According to the Old Testament scriptures, Messiah was portrayed as, first of all, the God-man. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 talks about this. Then we see that the Old Testament scriptures say that he's the mighty God, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. He's the sinner's substitute and Savior, in Isaiah 53 and verse 4. He is the eternal King, according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. In fact, he is the Lord Jehovah, our righteousness, according to Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. As believers in Christ, may we, like Timothy, confess a good confession before all men. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What does Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 say? It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, notice, if you would, it is because of righteousness that mankind can believe with the heart. And also, it's because of salvation that mankind is able to acknowledge righteousness. Well, these verses do not mean that confession is a condition of salvation, but rather confession is a natural result or evidence of salvation. Well, sometimes we try to put a condition on salvation, but God says there is no condition. The only condition was met by Jesus Christ when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. We must believe. And let me say that when a person gets saved and they witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is confession with the mouth. But I say that you can also make a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ when you, what we call, go down into the watery grave. That is, following him in believer's baptism. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you already are saved. You're telling the world that you have been crucified with Christ, you're buried with him, and you've resurrected with him. And because he lives, you now live. That is a confession when you get baptized, telling the whole world that you have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, the scripture spoken of here is Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. You notice how Paul keeps using the Old Testament scriptures here. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Or in other words, shall not be ashamed. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded or ashamed, in other words. And that's what the word confounded means. There means ashamed. So when we confess Jesus Christ, we're telling the world, we're not ashamed of our Lord. In Romans chapter 9, verse 33 says, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion. You see how many times these verses are repeated? Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It makes no difference, because whosoever receives Jesus will not be ashamed or embarrassed by or confounded by because of him. Why? Because Romans chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." See, it makes no difference who the person is who trusts Jesus as Savior, because he is the same Lord. He's the same Savior for everybody, for the Jew, for those people who are Gentiles. For anyone in this world who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, there's no difference, because all have sinned, according to Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Because it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man does the calling. God does the saving. Whosoever is an emphatic form of whoever. It makes no difference. Whoever does this shall be saved. Well, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says this. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, how shall the whosoever, in other words, be saved if they have not heard about him, about Jesus? And how shall the whosoever hear about Jesus without someone proclaiming him? And how shall someone proclaim Jesus without being sent? In Matthew chapter 28, we have the answer that is in verses 18 through 20. It says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, as it is written in Isaiah 52 and verse 7, those who proclaim the gospel have beautiful, excellent feet. According to Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, we see that also. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, we are to go. We have been given the great commission. That is, we are the ones who are to preach the gospel to this world. We are to walk. We are to tell others about Jesus. Isaiah 52 and verse 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's us. We are to have our feet ready to go, prepared to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. Well, the next section of scripture, of this scripture in the book of Romans chapter 10, we look at Israel's neglect of the gospel. They neglected to take the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, verses 16 through 18, we see that not all obeyed the gospel as it was given to the Jewish people. May the Lord bless you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.